Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Texans training camp is happening now. Houston, let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
2-0, baby. Best Thursday ever. 2-0. 2-0 on Tuesday. 2-0 on Thursday. Rockets cruising to the second round. Astros have won 8 straight despite having everybody on the injured list, and the Texans are 20 days away from starting the season. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. It is Football Friday. 713-572-4610. What in the F are you sipping on? But I got to start with something, John.
Yes, sir.
I left the show yesterday a little bit confused. People see things.
How is that different from any other day?
Through different perspectives.
Yes, I always say it. People can see the same thing and interpret it different ways.
The observations that we've been getting from Texans practice, from Sean Pendergast at 11:20 and John McClain yesterday, they couldn't have been more different.
It's like modern art.
Were they at the same practice? 713-572-4610. Were they at the same practice?
It's like
yesterday?
A Jackson Pollock painting. Yeah, it's modern art. You look at it, you see something, I see something else. Now, it might be a little more difficult to interpret, you know, red zone offense versus special teams, but you can interpret it how you will.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It was interesting, to say the very least. I did not feel like the same practice was being attended, but it was interesting. Sean Pendergast out there right now. By the way, Will Fuller not practicing.
Right.
So he's getting a day of rest. We're going to talk about what this offense would look like if Will Fuller, much like he's been for most of the season, if Will Fuller were to miss time, how would you feel about this offense as compared to last year when DeAndre Hopkins basically had to hold it down? J.J. Watt, not practicing too much either. At what point does J.J. Watt need to get some practice reps, OG?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Let's hit it with our loopholes as well. If you listen, you are a loophole. 713-572-4610. And don't forget about the radio.com app. You can listen to us now live on over the air, or you can go to the app and listen to us anytime. Rewind. You can listen to the whole show up to 24 hours later. So that's cool. So you can maybe share these thoughts and this question with your friends, and they can come back and listen. We're sitting here before the show, and we all assume J.J. Watt is a god, and we'll dial
Wait,
it in.
What?
He's a god. He's a football god.
Huh?
I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here. He's a football god.
What?
He's a football god.
Okay.
You want me to say it one more time? He's a football god.
Okay.
That he knows his body so well, he can ramp it up at any point he wants. He knows how to be ready for a football season. But it does beg a question, and interested in yours and Figgy's and everybody else's thoughts here. At what point do you need to see him on the field? For those who don't know, J.J. Watt has not practiced yet. He's been on the side occasionally. He's been working out on his own occasionally. And I fall into this category as well, Landry. I'm just like, don't worry about it. right? Don't worry about it. It's JJ. You know, he'll be ready come Thursday night against the Chiefs. Just turn on the lights and let him go to work. But is there a point between now and kickoff against the Chiefs where you feel like we have to see him on the field at least a little bit? Is there a point where you need to see him practicing?
Is there a point where we stop relying on JJ? And the reason I'm saying that is not disrespect to JJ.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we're talking about a guy who 3 out of the last 4 seasons has had a season-ending injury. And we look at this defense and we almost assume, well, you know, they got JJ, so they can't be too bad. They got JJ Watt.
Yeah.
Which is the same assumption we've made 3 of the last 4 years. And I know he came back and played in the playoffs last year, but he wasn't his self. He had a torn pec. At what point do we stop relying on JJ Watt?
Mm-hmm.
At what point do we look at this defense and we evaluate it without JJ Watt? Like, let's pretend that J.J. Watt's going to miss time this year, because that's what's been the norm. I mean, he's missed over half the games in the last 4 seasons. That's what's happened with J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
But we constantly assume that J.J. is going to be in the lineup, which I think is unfair to J.J. At what point do we start facing the reality that if J.J. is J.J., that's icing, but as far as a fair evaluation of what this team is going to be, you've got to evaluate it without J.J. Watt, because his body has not been good to him the last 4 years.
No, he's struggled to stay on the field. Played 3 games in 2016. Played 5 games in 2017. Played 8 games last year, and sandwiched in between was a badass 16 game, 7 forced fumbles, 4 passes defense, 16 sack season in 2018. But those other 3 years, 3, 5, and 8 games. So which one is it? And so I keep thinking about the fact that he's missed all these games the last 4 years, when everyone, including especially Bill O'Brien, is telling us, in essence, he's telling us, don't worry about it. He's JJ. He'll be ready when he's ready. He'll step out on the field. He'll tell us when he wants to get some reps, and on we'll go. I'm guilty of it, but I'm asking the question because I'm assuming JJ is going to be fine. All right, and he doesn't.
Why though? Why would you assume that?
It was a legitimate question, because I'm starting to question my own opinion. You know, I'm just assuming because, you know, I mean, maybe I'm falling into the video game mode. You know, you don't consider these people real, like real injuries, real rehabilitation, real soreness, you know, real age, all the things that can affect him on the field. I'm starting to question it myself, so that's why I'm asking you and our listeners, do you need to see him out there in maybe 11-on-11 scrimmage that Sean Pendergast is going to describe for us as he always does?
You can't forecast injuries when you're talking about a season, but at some point, an injury is not bad luck. You know what I mean? And I feel like the slate always gets wiped away the last 4 years when it comes to evaluating this team with J.J. Watt or Will Fuller. Because when we look at this team, we assume, well, these guys are going to be in the whole time. So, yeah, Will Fuller, he hasn't stayed healthy since his rookie season. But you know what? If he's in the lineup every day, then my gosh, the sky's the limit. This guy could be one of the better receivers in the league when he's in there 16 games. It hasn't happened. J.J., when J.J.'s in there, I mean, it's going to be you can't be too bad as a defense. J.J. is going to be great, which he is, and both of them are when they're in. But at some point, you have to look at this team and you have to assume, and if they're in the lineup, that's great. That's even better. But you have to assume that you're going to play games without J.J. Watt and you're going to play games without Will Fuller. I feel like sometimes we just wipe the slate clean, and at some point, it's not their fault, but that's just the way you have to look at this team. So I ask you to look at this defense. Let's pretend that J.J. Watt misses a couple games. I'll knock on wood. I hope he plays all 16.
Right.
Look at this defense without J.J. Watt.
Oh, completely different complexion. Because then opposing offenses, even if they're wondering the same thing that we are, and they probably, not probably, they have more information on J.J. and some of his strengths and weaknesses physically than any of us. But even now, even with that knowledge, they're still going to, you know, sort of shade their defense toward J.J. Watt on every snap. They're going to double team him. They're going to know where he is. They're going to run plays that are either taking advantage of his aggressiveness or running at it. You know, you know the drill here. When JJ, if he's not on the field, it's Brandon Dunn. Good player, good player. Not JJ, and you don't have to double team him.
It's Charles Domenihu. It's Whitney Merciless. We saw Whitney without him. And then the offense. We'll get into this with Sean Pendergast. You look at the offense, you have no Will Fuller. It's Brandon Cooks. It's Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
And it's Kenny Stills. It's I want these guys to be on the field. I think they're Pro Bowl caliber players when they're on the field, but I think making that assumption is kind of dangerous. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you 20 days away from training camp. By the way, an observation courtesy of Aaron Reese of The Athletic. So the Texans are doing individual drills as we speak. We're going to talk to Sean Pendergast after practice. Lonnie Johnson's working out with the safeties.
I was just going to ask you about
that. So the safeties are doing their drills, and Lonnie Johnson is getting some work in with the safeties.
Man, he stole my thunder here. I was just going to ask you about that during the break and see if we wanted to address it. Let's address it here. When Anthony Weaver yesterday said, well, he looks like a linebacker, but he plays like he moves like a cornerback, I'm like, I don't know how many linebackers can really move like a cornerback in this league. That's one thing to do it somewhere else. But in the NFL, when guys can jump over you and run past you, I was going to ask you, do you think we're going to see him at safety this year at some point? Well, that might be your answer if he's working out with him.
Yeah, and I don't know what that says about your safety situation, but Lonnie Johnson's getting that work in right now. This came up on Texans Radio with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris, and I think this is a question that needs to be answered today. 713-572-4610. Which call was better from Mark Vandermeer? Because I got two of my favorite calls of all time. I want to know which one is better. Here's the discussion we had on Texans Radio earlier today, and I want the loopholes to weigh in on this. 713-572-4610. Here is the question that needs to be answered on Football Friday.
You know, putting slime season Deshaun Watson in there, Landry?
Ooh, yeah. That's my favorite Vandy call ever, by the way.
Slime season? Yeah.
Look, I researched it.
And the D-Stiffins. Those are the two favorite in-the-loop quotes. The D-Stiffins and slime season.
Okay.
I'm telling you, football is made for double
talker.
I
didn't even think about the D-Stiffins. I didn't even think about that one. You know, usually...
I've heard you guys play that, and I've wondered, what the heck? It just hit me right now.
The slime season, I just walked tightrope on that one. But you know, he said it's all about being friends and whatever, so that's good.
There you go. So which call is better? Is the D Stiffins or is slime season the best Vandy call of all time? Here is option number one, slime season, courtesy of the great Mark Vandermeer.
Watson keeping it left side, and Watson across the 30, and he just falls down after he knows he's got the first down at the 29-yard line, and he does the slime season celebration with 2:45 to go in the game. Watson fakes the handoff, keeper, 40, 45, and slides down at about the 47-yard line. First down run, Deshaun Watson, slime season.
There we go. That's option one, slime season. That's hard to beat.
That's hard to beat.
That's hard to beat.
Yes. I know what you're doing.
But the D Stiffins,
I got it the first time.
It's hard to beat, too. Here's option number two.
Jacksonville going for the lead right here from the 2-yard line. Minshew with the gun, three receivers left. Handoff Fournette running left. And he stopped. Justin Reed got in there. The D Stiffins.
Now, is it slime season or is it the D Stiffins? I'll let Figgy vote first, then the OG. Loophole 713-572-4610 to get in. Figgy, you going slime season or you going the D Stiffening?
The D Stiffins.
I am going to go slime season, and the reason is, first of all, it's funny when hearing Mark Vandermeer say that, but he just like slides it in like no big deal.
It's casual.
Yeah, he just
it's
like
casual.
Slides it
it's
in.
It's just casual. The D Stiffins was like was a historic call because that was when Justin Reed stuck Fournette for the Texans' first win last year. So it was a significant, yeah, authentic, awesome call.
Yeah, just like,
but
just
the slime season, when you can just slide slime,
yeah,
season in like it's
like
nothing.
He's the coolest man in America.
And he might be.
And he might be.
And he might be. I think I'm going to go, I don't even know. 713-572-4610, D Stiffins or slime season. Texans practicing right now. I don't even want to look at the text line
because
you guys are very disgusting. By the way, but let's hear from Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien live from training camp as practice begins 20 days away from the start of the season. Let's take a trip to the bubble next.
The D Stiffin.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, let's go out to training camp here from Bill O'Brien before practice. We're going to hear from B.O.B., and then we're going to hear from Billy Badass John Lopez. John Lopez,
what?
Billy Badass coach, is going to answer all the questions that Bill O'Brien got asked in the Billy Badass form that he can. We'll do that at 10:40, so keep it locked. Let's go out to camp, though. Let's hear from Bill O'Brien 20 days away from the Texans versus the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think they're doing well. I think that, you know, it's an interesting time, John, you know, because of how training, you know, like I said yesterday, we'd be getting ready for our third preseason game. You know, these guys, were able to work out during the offseason, no doubt about it, but not really with us. So they're all on these different ramp up periods. Everybody's on track to be ready to go when the season starts. But, you know, there's just different ramp ups. So it's hard for me to explain that. It is what it is relative to how we, when we tested these guys and where they were at and what they needed from a, you know, from a load standpoint, that's what we're doing. And I think all those guys have done a great job. They're really good pros. They really understand what we're asking them to do. And it's been good. I think you're muted.
Bill.
Hey, Aaron.
When you look at Zach Cunningham and the other top inside linebackers from the NFL, what kind of makes this guy someone that is right in that category? And as you guys look at him and evaluate him as someone that, you know, you would possibly want to secure with a long-term deal, what are your thoughts on that generally, just in terms of Zach and his future? Thank you.
Yeah, no, we want Zach on our team. We want Zach to be a Texan for a long time. No doubt about it. He's just a really good player. He's very instinctive. He's got good speed. He can do a lot of different things within our scheme. Plays on special teams. He's on the punt team. Really good guy. You know, same guy every day. We think that it'd be great if he was with us for a long time.
Mark Berman.
Billy, getting back to the receivers for a second, now that you've had them with you for a few days, for a while now, like Randall and Brandon, those guys, what are some things that you've found out maybe that you didn't know that enhanced what you think of them and how much they can help?
Just the way they work. You know, they put the time in every day. They work. They come to work every day. They're great guys in the locker room. They communicate well. They want to do what Deshaun needs them to do within the route. They're smart. They understand what we're trying to do. They're good teammates. They're DTS. They're dependable, tough, smart, and that's what's great about them.
Bill, how do you think the lack of preseason games will affect waiver pickups and maybe the amount of trades that happen during cutdown period, just with teams not being able to see guys in other camps?
Man, that's a great question. I think obviously it will affect, you know, you just don't have the game tape. There's a lot of unknown, you know, you don't know where exactly a guy is, you know, relative to somebody that, you know, maybe is on the waiver wire or some other, you know, way to acquire a player. There are a lot of unknowns. I'm sure it'll affect it. We try to do the best job we can of watching previous tape of the player and, you know, understanding who the player is when the waiver wire comes out every day. But I believe for us, I just speak for myself, it's going to be a little bit different.
Bill, it seems like your tight ends have been doing some good stuff in practice so far. What do you think about the talent you have there and what they can do for your team?
Yeah, good players, all a little bit different in their skill set. You know, Felsey, he does a really good job in all phases. He can block. He's good in the passing game. Really smart player. You know, Jordan Akins had a really good day yesterday. And, you know, with Jordan, it's just all about consistency, you know, just being consistent. He's a great guy, really good, really talented guy. Jordan Thomas has had a good training camp. He's come back in shape and doing some good things. And then Kali Waring's, you know, look, he works hard. He's a good guy. He's still, you know, last year he didn't play. So, you know, this is, you know, a year where he really needs to take a step within the offense. I think he's doing better. He had a better day yesterday. So it's a good position. Dylan Stapleton, the guy that the undrafted guy out of James Madison, he's been really, really good. You know, tough guy, you know, learning the game, tries to do what we ask him to do. So I really think the position is a good one.
Bill, what is it about the way that Deshaun learns that if he makes a mistake in practice, he doesn't generally make it again?
Yeah, he's smart. I mean, he's got a really got a good memory. He understands what he sees. He's able to really communicate what he saw on the play, why he did that, you know, why he made that decision. He doesn't make many mistakes, but he's smart, and he's got an ability to really understand what he just saw and then be able to say, okay, this is what I saw. This is why I did it. And, you know, that's, you see that at night on the Zoom calls too, you know, hey, this is, he'll tell the offense, hey, this is what I saw. This is why I did this, made this decision. And it's been good.
Does that help you at all when you're on the sideline during games between series, trying to make a decision about the rest of the game, knowing that if he's seen it once, he's probably not going to do it again in that game?
Yeah, no, I mean, just the conversations on the sideline with him are always good because he's very calm and he gives you exactly what he saw. He can recite each play like, hey, this is what I saw on the 2nd and 10 play. This is what I saw in the 3rd and 2 play. You know, I don't really like this play today. You know, we got to take this one out. You know, whatever it is, he's good at understanding what he just saw and being able to communicate it back to you between series.
Hey, Bill, Darren Fells, the latest player to describe to us his faith in the extra measures that the organization has taken from a safety standpoint, and that really allowed him to have a great conversation with his wife to allow him to go ahead and play. How does that make you feel, both as a coach and as a husband and a dad, hearing that kind of feedback and the steps the organization has taken?
Yeah, I think it makes us all feel good. I mean, I think that we spent a lot of time. I mean, Jack and I came back here on July 4th, and we got the protocols the night of July 3rd, and then there were other people in the organization, everybody from our PR department to our training room to our strength staff to operations to our cafeteria to Susie Thomas, and then obviously the support of the McNairs. I mean, we made a lot of changes in a week. I don't know if you guys have been inside at all, probably not, but when you see it again, I think you'll say, whoa, that's different, because, you know, within a week or two, we changed locker rooms, we changed hallways. Two people that have done an unbelievable job are Jeff Kaplan and Ray Claridge, have really done a great job of doing what you're talking about. And so when the players came back, I think that they were impressed, and they, you know, I think that's a big deal. That creates team belief, you know, and team belief is a big deal. So that's good that Darren said that.
Good morning, Coach. Given the skill set of Brandon Cooks and Kenny Stills, is there a possibility we will see Will Fuller run more intermediate routes this season, perhaps more so than we have in the past?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, look, I think Will runs the whole route tree. I mean, I know he's known for the deep shots, you know, because, you know, he's really, really good at those, and he's had connections with Deshaun over the years. But, you know, he's a really good route runner. He can run the short stuff. We use him everywhere. We use him in the slot. We use him on the outside. You know, he can run 20-yard in cuts, and he can run, you know, the 12-yard slant route. So, you know, we use him in a lot of different ways, and we'll continue to do that.
Do you expect Kiki Coutee out there today? And what's going on with Kiki?
I think he'll be out there today. I just gave him a day off, looking at a few things with him on the again, like, it's taken time for me to get used to this, but we've put a lot of time into this GPS and these player loads and high speed, and you know, how many times did the guy reach 19 miles an hour? I mean, we had a guy yesterday, AJ Moore, reached 21 miles an hour on a kickoff coverage. And so we take those things into account. With Kiki, it's a lot of short space stuff. And, you know, it felt like, hey, let's give him a little time here, and then we'll bring him back today. He should be out there today.
Well, it's obviously generally hard for rookie wide receivers to make a big impact, but what kind of specifically are the challenges Isaiah Coulter faces heading into this year, just making the transition from FCS and doing it during this offseason?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, I think the big thing with Isaiah is very talented. He's got good size. He can run. He can catch. He's got all the tools that you need, but it's just totally different. I mean, you go from playing at, you know, Rhode Island to the National Football League. You know, it's just different. You know, the coverages are different. Obviously, the talent level is different. And he's getting better, though. He improves every day. He works at it. And so we'll see. But I think, yeah, it's the wide receiver position in this league. If you go back through history, rookies at the wide receiver position, you know, it's tough. It's a tough transition. You know, more press coverage, you know, much better corners, different, you know, much different coverages. So it's hard, but he's working hard every day to try to get better.
Coach, you've talked to us before about the soft tissue injuries and trying to shield against those. That seems to be pretty consistent around the league. Could you dig deeper a little bit into that and how you guys went about and what that was like for you guys in monitoring soft tissue injuries and why specifically that's important?
So when they came back, we tested all of them in different types of tests that had different types of criteria, whether it was, you know, just conditioning level or hamstring strength or, you know, whatever the test may entail and, you know, quad strength or quad flexibility or, you know, all of those things. And then we made a then we got that information, Mike Eubanks, Roland, Ladd Harris, you know, we have a really good team that puts all this information together. We hired a guy from the University of Texas named Matt Van Dyke. He's really good too. New guy, you know, a lot of brain power in the room. I mean, I just listen. I mean, I'm quite obviously the dumbest guy in that room. So I just listen and they give us information and then we can now plan how we're going to practice these guys. What's the plan for these guys? Because ultimately the health of the team is the most important thing. If you have a healthy team, any team, if you have a healthy team, you've got a real shot. So, you know, a lot went into it and then we implement the plan for each player. So each player has a different type of ramp up schedule and based on where they were from that testing. And I think, you know, I think there's been some things that have been adjusted over time, but I do think we're on track.
There's Bill O'Brien live from training camp. So, some interesting stuff going on the field. We'll get into that. And Billy Badass Coach Lopez is going to answer the questions B.O.B. just did, like only he knows how. Keep it locked. In the Loop continues next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's hear from Billy Badass Coach Lopez. We just heard Bill O'Brien answer questions like Bill O'Brien has been known to do.
I'm not Billy Badass.
It is time now for Billy Badass Lopez to answer the questions. And I want you to be a hard A coach. I want you to just be a coach that's just just be the typical meathead coach.
All right.
You ready?
I'll get into the role.
Here we go. Billy Badass Lopez at the podium. Media types, start your questions.
When you look at Zach Cunningham and the other top inside linebackers on the NFL, what kind of makes this guy someone that is right in that category? And as you guys look at him and evaluate him as someone that, you know, you would possibly want to secure with a long-term deal, what are your thoughts on that generally, just in terms of Dak and his future? Thank you.
You know, when I look at you, I see a giant nerd and wonder how you got into this business in the first place. Why don't you just ask a direct question about football? We're here to cover football. We're here to talk about football. What's with the whiny voice, too? Just ask a question about football. When he signs, when Zach Cunningham signs, I'll let you know, okay? How's that for an answer?
That's Billy Badass Lopez. All right, next media type. Address Billy Badass Coach, please.
Getting back to the receivers for a second, now that you've had them with you for a few days, for a while now, like Randall and Brandon, those guys, what are some things that you've found out maybe that you didn't know that enhanced what you think of them and how much they can help?
Why don't you get back to the airport? Why don't you do that? Why don't you get back to the airport, and next time you see any of my receivers flying out, you can ask them yourself, all right?
All right. Billy Badass continues at the podium.
How do you think the lack of preseason games will affect waiver pickups and maybe the amount of trades that happen during cutdown period, just with teams not being able to see guys in other camps?
Oh, gee, I don't know. I don't know about any other players in the NFL that we might be able to sign. I'll be completely lost. I won't be able to sign anyone because there's no preseason and no camps. Get the hell out of here.
More with Billy Badass, Coach Lopez.
It seems like your tight ends have been doing some good stuff in practice so far. What do you think about the talent you have there and what they can do for your team?
I got talent. Yeah, we got talent at the tight end position. Yeah, we do. All kinds of talent. We also have Kahale Wary.
What is it about the way that Deshaun learns that if he makes a mistake in practice, he doesn't generally make it again?
He's brilliant. He's a genius. He's Deshaun Watson. Where have you been the last 4 years?
Does that help you at all when you're on the sideline during games between series trying to make a decision about the rest of the game, knowing that if he's seen it once, he's probably not going to do it again in that game?
Yeah, I just go get a hot dog because he can handle it on himself. Yeah, I have no impact, no influence at all on Deshaun Watson. He did it all by himself.
Billy Badass Coach Lopez at the podium.
Darren Fells, the latest player to describe to us his faith in the extra measures that the organization has taken from a safety standpoint, and that really allowed him to have a great conversation with his wife to allow him to go ahead and play. How does that make you feel, both as a coach and as a husband and a dad, hearing that kind of feedback and the steps the organization has taken?
What the hell? What are you asking? What are you even asking? I had a great conversation with your wife, huh? You like that?
Good morning. Skill set of Brandon Cooks and Kenny Stills. Is there a possibility we will see Will Fuller run more intermediate routes this season, perhaps more so than we have in the past?
Yes.
More with Billy Badass Lopez.
Do you expect Kiki Coutee out there today? And what's going on with Kiki?
Look, Kiki Coutee has been in my doghouse. Did you notice him when he was in there? Yeah, you were in there too.
Well, it's honestly generally hard for rookie wide receivers to make a big impact, but what kind of specifically are the challenges Isaiah Coulter faces heading into this year, just making the transition from FCS and doing it during this offseason?
Who? Oh, Isaiah Coulter. Yeah, he came from a small school. He's not going to make this squad.
Jeez, Billy Badass Lopez holding nothing back.
Chief talked to us before about the soft tissue injuries and trying to shield against those. That seems to be pretty consistent around the league. Could you dig deeper a little bit into that and how you guys went about and what that was like for you guys in monitoring soft tissue injuries and why specifically that's important?
You know what else is soft tissue? A brain. Why don't you dig into that a little bit and try to come up with a better question?
Yesterday, Wade Phillips talked about Cooks, who he watched every day in practice the last 2 years.
Oh, he watched practice.
And besides calling him a fabulous person, he said he's probably the smartest receiver he's ever been around, and that's why he can come into a new system and have 1,000 yards. He also said besides the speed, he is a good route runner. Do you think guys like Fuller and Cooks, who have great speed, their route running often gets overlooked?
Yeah, you know, I fired Wade Phillips for a reason, right? You know that, right? That we pushed him out for a reason. Get out of here. Why don't you watch practice?
Billy Badass, John Lopez. My gosh, holding nothing. Just answering all of
that was a good
questions.
Quick presser, too.
That was quick. That was very to the point, right on point. Here 20 days away from training camp. We're going live to camp, talk to Sean Pendergast in a sec. You have a plea with the Rockets. Yeah, there's something that you think the Rockets need to do right now
and a mistake
that they can't afford to make following their win last night.
I don't see – well, let me put it this way. I don't see any way, anyhow, you can move past Mike D'Antoni. You just can't. He's doing too good of a job with the Rockets. If you watched yesterday's game – I mean, I was blown away. And not just the small ball, the way they run, the way they play without Russell Westbrook, by the way, the way the offense, you know, filled in with role players. I mean, great. I don't want to get into the X's and O's, but if you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. The way they all found the open spot offensively, penetration kick, no Harden, no problem, no Westbrook, no problem. But I think the bigger thing is on the defensive side, that was a brilliant game that the Rockets played. I can't remember the last time I even said that word brilliant and Rockets defense in the same sentence, but it was brilliant. And I think the bigger picture here, there's no way you can move past Mike D'Antoni. I don't care if they get swept in the next round. I mean, he's done too good a job. He's too perfect for this team style. He's basically, I mean, he invented it, you know, in a sense. And then you're going to try to bring in someone else, and that seems to be the noise. It seems to be the, you know, kind of acknowledged thing that's going to happen, that they're just going to move on from D'Antoni. He doesn't have a contract right now. He's playing basically playing out the string on his contract. I also thought about this. I want to get your thoughts. Could Mike D'Antoni pull a B.O.B.? And because Tillman Fertitta knows how good he's got this team playing. I mean, we all know. Anybody who watches basketball knows. Could D'Antoni – I don't even know if there is a rift per se. I know there's a a miscommunication between Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni. Could D'Antoni go into Fertitta's office and say, him or me? Could he do that?
No.
Because he'll pick him.
because I think he'd pick Maury.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because
he's still under contract. I don't think Fertitta's going to fire someone that still has money left. I really don't. I mean, I could be wrong, but I just don't think Tillman Fertitta functions to where he's going to fire someone that still has that he's going to have to pay to fire. I don't think that would be a power move. Now, if they both had the same amount of time on their contract and he had to make that decision, I still think he would pick Maury.
Explain to me how you would justify. Let's say the Rockets win in five. I'll throw a bone to the Thunder. They win one game. They win in five here. They lose in six or seven to the Lakers.
Okay.
How do you justify moving on from Mike D'Antoni?
Just change for the sake of change. Maybe you think that you've reached your ceiling. You feel like you've reached your peak. Maybe. I don't know.
You can't. But that's not justifying it. There's no like we're going to play better without this guy. We're going to find a new coach and we're going to be better. I don't think you can. He's perfect for Harden, perfect for small ball with Westbrook and everybody else. They played the best defense I've seen them play in a long, long time, and they continue to play good defense. I don't see how you can say, yeah, we'll be better without Mike D'Antoni.
And it's just interesting because you look at the way that D'Antoni was treated last offseason. I thought it was a damn shame.
It was.
Here was Tillman Fertitta, in case you've forgotten, talking about Mike D'Antoni, and it was really an insulting contract offer extension that he handed D'Antoni. It was basically the entire leverage would have been with the organization instead of D'Antoni. Here's Tillman Fertitta talking about that last offseason.
I would prefer him to always work with at least a two-year contract. His agent decided that that's not the way they want it to work, okay? But a two-year rolling after a three- or four-year contract is somewhat normal.
Is it? No, it's not.
Here's more Tillman Fertitta. So there was some controversy about whether or not he was the one who picked up the option with Mike D'Antoni. He wanted to make it very clear that, according to him, he did not do that.
Even last year when somebody said, well, Tillman's the one who made that extension offer to – or made the extension to last year to Mike. And these two guys, being the gentlemen that they are, you know, said, Tillman, why don't you do it? You know, you haven't really done anything as the owner except buy the team. Why don't you call Mike and tell him we're exercising his option for another year? So any noise you hear about that, that's exactly what it is.
Didn't he just admit that he did?
Yes, he did. And the whole...
Why was that a big deal?
Well, exactly. And the whole concept of this is normal to do these types of... It's not. It's not normal to have those kinds of contracts in the NBA.
It's amazing where the Rockets are. This was more from Tillman Fertitta in the offseason with Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey's kind of addressing the media types, if you will. Fertitta wants to make something very clear.
I'm optimistic. Some of our main competitors are trying to keep their key people. We're going to keep all our key people
are you?
Next year.
Well.
and be aggressive if we can find better. But we have a great, again...
We're not changing the change. Yeah. If we can improve ourselves, we're going to improve ourselves. But we love our starting five.
Just totally interrupted.
They did trade two of the five.
Yeah, they did.
Which looks very good right now. We know that Tillman Fertitta's got that edge. He's got that grit. He's got that fight. That's why he's so successful. Remember when the Rockets lost to the Warriors? What Tillman Fertitta said about his culture when it comes to being a boss man.
Well, you know, I'm a fighter. That's my culture. And I think the longer that I own this team, they're going to pick up more. My culture is that we had them. We should have stepped on their throat the other night and cut their throat, okay? It's not, let's make a few shots and win. It's step on their throat and let's take it back to Houston and end it in six. And we'll pick up a few Tillmanisms along the way.
Okay.
All right.
Tillmanisms. Now, let me ask you this. You're giving Mike D'Antoni all this credit. Are you sure this isn't Tillmanisms that we're watching right now with the Rockets?
I'm pretty sure.
Are you positive this is not the Tillman Fertitta DNA and the D'Antoni DNA?
I'm pretty sure he didn't draw up that kind of amoeba man-to-man defense that the Rockets were using.
If he's going to extend D'Antoni, it's going to have to be I think D'Antoni is in a position where he should ask for multi-years. Because I think it's very obvious, if you watch this, and if you watched the game yesterday, it's obvious Jeff Van Gundy wants this job. I know Jeff Van Gundy's a listener.
Not?
I know Jeff Van Gundy's a listener. I know he's been out of coaching for a long time. If you watch Jeff Van Gundy call games, it's obvious
He wants this job. He's been linked to Daryl Morey. We've heard it many times.
Who said it was
Landry? Wrong? Landry did.
Oh, come on.
Yes, you want the job, Jeff. You want the job. I think it's very obvious he wants this gig, and I think Daryl Morey likes Jeff Van Gundy. I think Tillman likes stars, and I think Jeff Van Gundy is a star.
He's a marquee kind of guy.
He's one of those types of guys. So I think in a perfect world, when it comes to the notoriety and the personality, I think in a perfect world, they would like to have Jeff Van Gundy. And I think it's obvious if you watch the games, Jeff Van Gundy, he's a Houstonian. He's one of the proudest Houstonians mm-hmm. there is. Jeff Van Gundy wants this job. I'm with you, though. I just don't see how you make that decision. And I don't know how you sell James Harden on making that decision or Russell Westbrook or these guys. These guys love Mike D'Antoni.
No.
They love Mike D'Antoni.
You can't. It's hard to sell. Well, there is no sell. At this point, again, we're assuming they're going to win. They will.
Oh, what?
They're going to win this series.
Oh, was yesterday a good practice or not?
No, yesterday was the game that decided it. Game two, most important
but
game.
But yesterday
of
was a
series.
Practice, right?
No, it was a good, pretty good game for a while.
Pulled away.
They're going to beat the Thunder. Even if they get swept, I shouldn't say swept, but even if they lose to the Lakers in five or whomever, you can't, there is no justification for moving on from Mike D'Antoni. There's none. There's zero. The way they play, as good as they've been, you can't say, oh, well, you know what? We're going to be better now that we've gotten past him. You can't.
It's going to be a short season,
He started
season
this
too.
Thing.
It's going to be a short season. Like, you're not going to have as much
short
time
off
to get ready.
Season.
Yeah, it's going to be a short off season.
Yeah.
So you're gonna do the coaching thing. I don't know. I don't know what – we heard Tillman Fertitta after they got eliminated by the Warriors – I don't want to say he makes impulsive decisions, but if they get swept by the Lakers, I do think that he's going to be looking at a new coach.
Yes, but you still can't justify it at this point. He's accomplished too much, gotten them playing too. I think if they get swept by the Lakers, it's just going to give him license to move on. You know what I mean? He's going to say, "Oh, well, you got to be better than a sweep against the Lakers." And he'll have like a reason to say that he moved on from Mike D'Antoni. But there really is, at the core, there's no reason to move on from him. He's doing I hope people understand how good a job he's done with this. This has never been done before, what he's doing with this squad. And that kind of man-to-man, close-out, switch-everything defense, some old-timers are going to remember this. Former LSU coach Dale Brown. Remember that name?
Sure.
Shaq played for him at LSU.
Okay. Shout out to Chris Jackson, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Yeah, he started.
Stanley Roberts.
I studied this for a while. I like legitimately studied the defense. It was intriguing. It was called the amoeba defense or the freak defense, which was kind of what Mike D'Antoni is doing. I'd love to get Mike on and ask him if he's studied any of Dale Robertson's old, which is kind of like a man-to-man.
Dale Robertson.
Dale Brown. Kind of like a man-to-man slash zone. And then the way they close out. He did that on the fly this year.
Man, I'll say this though: if we wanted to quote Jeff Van Gundy, not look past in victory what you wouldn't ignore in defeat.
Yeah,
those are some open looks the Thunder are getting. I don't know if that's by design.
No.
But those are some open looks they're getting.
I'm glad you brought that up. I actually tweeted this yesterday. That's where the Rockets defense has been at its best. Their closeouts are amazing. Like, I throw the ball to you, I swing it to you, and it looks like you have 4 or 5 feet between you and a defender, and as you're cocking to shoot, they're already on you. I mean, they're first of all, the conditioning is incredible, but their closeouts, next time you see them play, just watch how fast they close out on people. Because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, they got to take that. Oh, no, they don't. You got to swing it back. And then by the time you swing it back, and then they close out on that guy, and then they throw it into whomever down on the post or in the block. Then all of a sudden the shot clock is like 3 seconds, and they got to take an awkward shot. Their defense has been incredible. The closeouts especially.
OG John Lopez, you can't let D'Antoni go, according to the OG. We'll see if the Thunder lay down Game 3 tomorrow. The city of grit, that's what H-Town has become. With all the sports going on, there are a lot of big coconuts on display. We're going to count down the 5 biggest pairs of coconuts in H-Town next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.